And the way that he does that, and he does it, and I'm guilty of it, is he keeps us very, very busy. We're just inundated with smartphones and iPads and inboxes and email and text messages coming all the time, and we're just inundated with that sort of stuff. And so what happens is we come to church on Sundays, and our minds are moving a mile a minute. We're trying to figure out, okay, what do we have to do at work tomorrow? What do we have? We got to get ready for the barbecue tomorrow, and I got to stop and pick up those ribs, and who's going to make the potato salad? And all this stuff is rolling through our minds, and what happens is we miss the message, or we get parts of the message. And that's what Satan wants, is when you get part of the message, you're getting partial truth. So what I want us to do, this is called a mind sweep. Think about everything that's in your mind right now. And when I say start, don't start now. When I say start, I want you to just dump everything out of your mind and put it on that paper. It could be a to-do list. It could be your fears. It could be regrets from yesterday. It could be fears for tomorrow. Whatever's on your mind that you think is going to distract you from receiving God's word today, right, I want you to put it on that paper. And once you put it on that paper and our 2 minutes is up, put it aside. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it because it's on the paper. Studies have been shown that brain function diminishes over time because we're so busy trying to keep all these things in our mind at one time. Okay? So I'm going to go back up here because I got to start my timer. Does anybody have a pencil and paper? 2 minutes. So don't overthink it, but, you know, clear your mind and get it down there. Whatever it is, and it's yours. You don't have to worry about anybody seeing this. It's your paper. You ready? 2 minutes. Go. Some of you all were really boy getting stuff down, I tell you. That's okay. Good for you. So this is the tactic. I actually learned this at a conference that I went to about time management, and I actually use this. Michelle knows sometimes I'll come in and I'll just start jotting things down because there's so many things that I have to get done that I just start jotting it down, and I don't worry about it, and I just go back to it as I need to get things done. So you can use this, you know, every day. You don't have to just use it on Sundays. You don't have to just use it in church. It's a wonderful tool to kind of clear your mind. Amen? Amen? So if you all have brought your sword with you, if you would please rest on your feet, because God does indeed have a message for us, and I'm just so humbled and thankful that he has allowed me to bring it to you today. I have a couple of scriptures that we're going to read. The first one is going to come from the book of Psalms, the 118th division. Amen. 118, verse 24. And after we finish that, we're going to go to Romans 8, so just be prepared. So Psalms 118, 24, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's turn to Romans 8, starting with verses 29 through 31. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. That's you. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him, and he gave them right standing with himself, and he promised them his glory. What can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now let's jump down to 35 through 37. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or cold or in any danger or threatened with death? Even the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I want to read that last verse, Romans 8:37, in the King James Version. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. By definition, conquer means to defeat and subdue by force. And this, the word tells us that we are more than conquerors. For the message this morning, it's entitled, Defeat is not an option.
All right.
Defeat is not an option.
All right.
Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly and Most Righteous Father, We come to you this morning, Lord God, we want to thank you for this beautiful day. We want to thank you for allowing us to rise and see this day, Lord God, a day that was not promised us, a day that we do not deserve, Lord God. I come to you, Lord God, just humbly, Lord, asking that you would allow me to sit down, to decrease, to go into the backdrop, Lord Jesus. All I am is just a humble tool for you to use to reach your people, Lord God. I ask that you would increase, Lord God, and that these words that you have given me would come off this page, would come out of your word, Lord God, and to seep into somebody's heart, Lord Jesus, and change lives, Lord God. I'm asking that someone leaves out of here encouraged. Someone leaves out of here a better person than when they walk through the door, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, and just ask that you would just touch every person that's represented here, Lord Jesus, and just meet them where they are, Lord God, meet their needs and speak to their heart. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Defeat is not an option. There's obviously a hunger and desire among the saints of God to live a victorious life. I mean, who doesn't want to win, right? Winning feels good. Amen. Winning fuels us to keep going. However, this hunger is also evidence that many of us are living spiritually defeated lives. We're struggling from day to day and week to week. We still keep cycling through the same sins, and we never really progress. If Satan can keep us ignorant, he can keep us impotent and ineffective. Right. A disclaimer I want to address up front, because I don't want anyone coming away from this message disillusioned or discouraged by what may happen later on today or later on this week. Living a victorious life does not in any way mean that we will not experience challenges and that we will not have not so good days. Suffering and life challenges were handed down to us in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve engaged the enemy and followed his urges to eat from the tree that God told them to stay away from. In order for us to move toward a victorious life and away from defeat, we must acknowledge that there is something to defeat. In order for us to be more than conquerors, there has to be something for us to conquer. Isaiah 54:17 states, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." It doesn't say that a weapon would not be formed against you. Right. As David penned, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." So what is he telling us? We will walk in the valley of the shadow of death, and we will have enemies. But the good news is God always wins. And through him and by him, we already have the victory. He's already paid the price. He's already sealed that for us. This message is not about living a life free of sad times, trying times, dealing with enemies, both internal and external. But this message is about living in victory by facing and looking at all circumstances, good, bad, and indifferent, through the shadows of the cross. It's about living a life filled with joy and peace that surpasses all understanding and embracing that come what may, defeat is not an option. All right. Because God causes all things to work together for good for those of us who are called according to his purpose. Yeah. But we cannot have victory apart from Jesus Christ and surrendering our lives to him. 1 John 5:4-5. "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
All right.
So what does victory look like? Victorious people trade fear for faith.
All right.
They trade grumbling for gratitude.
Well.
Flesh for spirit.
All right.
Bitterness for forgiveness.
Well.
Rejection for redemption. Sin for sanctification. Victorious people trade despair for hope, guilt for grace, and the world for Jesus.
All right, all right.
Victorious people also activate the three D's of victory: desire, decide, and discipline. Number one, you have to desire that you want to live a victorious life. And that seems kind of strange. You're thinking, who wouldn't want to live that? But there are people out there who are okay with just being mediocre, with just being average.
Yeah.
They're okay with not having victory,
well,
and that's pretty sad. We have to decide that defeat is not an option. Did you know that believing we can live a victorious life takes no more energy than believing that you cannot?
Well.
So you might as well believe that you can. Mm. Apart from the Holy Spirit in our lives, the greatest power that we possess is the power to choose. We must develop a life of spiritual disciplines. We have to apply the appropriate battle strategy in order to be conquerors. And our overall battle plan as Christians is a life of faith. Faith is dependent on an object. We have faith in a certain brand of car because we've always driven that car. It's never broken down. We have faith in traffic lights that people that are supposed to stop, they'll stop. People that are supposed to go, they're supposed to go. We have faith in these pews. We come in here every Sunday. We throw our stuff down on it. We sit down, and we have faith that pew is going to hold us up. The perfect object of faith is Jesus. Faith is the substance on which our salvation is built. It is the substance by which we live. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And being victorious is impossible without pleasing God. Let's look at some of the key battle strategies, or disciplines, if you will, to increase our faith so we can always win. No. Faith-building strategy number one, understanding of the person of God. John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was God. The Greek translation of the word was is had always been. The Greek translation of the word word is the revelation of truth. So now let's look at that scripture again. The revelation of truth had always been. The revelation of truth had always been with God. The revelation of truth had always been God. In John 1:14, we know that the word is identified to be Jesus. So the word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. The effects of the fall in the garden were dramatic and immediate. Satan infiltrated the garden, and he ultimately usurped the authority that God had given man over the earth by distorting the image of God to Adam and Eve. He told a lie, basically. What did he tell them? You won't die if you eat from this tree, and you'll be just like God if you do. They found out immediately that that was not true. Amen. Believing this lie created a gap in the intimate relationship Adam and Eve shared with God. Satan continues to use this tactic today. He attempts to muddy our minds and weaken our faith with partial truths. So we have to study the word for ourselves and build our faith foundation on the knowledge of truth. A victorious life is a life of freedom. John 8:31 and 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. Yes. Yes. And you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free." We know that the truth is, has always been, the Word, the revelation of truth. And the Word is, has always been, Jesus. Our God came to set us free. The knowledge of God and his character creates a connection between him and us. This relationship is critical to the choices we make and our behavior patterns as Christians. This knowledge positively changes our lives, our prayer life, and our outlook and perspective on life. Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In order to build an intimate, faith-based relationship with our Father, it's important for us to know God's story and how it shapes and influences our story. By studying the Word of God and on a daily basis, we can intimately know about his unfailing love, victory, and peace. John 3:17, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. A lack of knowledge about the gospel and the selfless act of redemption, justification, and reconciliation hinders our overall sanctification process. And the sanctification process is him forming us to be like Jesus. The lack of knowledge leads to defeat and allows strongholds to take over in our lives. When we know his story and how he designed it with us in mind and how it ends, that Satan is truly powerless and his days are numbered and Jesus will always win, it's easier for us to weather life's storms and battles and claim victory. God's word is an immovable anchor. We have to read it. We have to study it. We have to internalize it. And then we have to live it. Faith building strategy number two. Understanding who we are in Christ. Another trick of the enemy, if we believe it, renders us ineffective in defeating, is that it's convincing us to listen to him and not listen to the voice of truth.
Well.
The enemy wants you to believe that you're nothing,
yeah.
that you're worthless, that you're unworthy of love and salvation, that you're defeated, and that it's too late for you and your life will never change. Some of you, if you look back through your past and through your history, Satan has used people that were close to you to teach you that. He's used some of our parents. He's used some of our siblings, some of our spouses, teachers, coaches, whatever it may be, to convince you of this lie. But the voice of truth says everyone, regardless of your past and who you think you are, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe in your heart that he paid the price for your sins, and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you have access to all the benefits that come with being a part of the body of Christ. If God is for you, who can be against you? A really powerful scripture in the Bible comes from Zephaniah 3:17, and if you really listen to it and internalize it, it's very powerful. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful song. Is it not powerful to think that the God of this universe looks at you and he rejoices in you and he delights in you as his child? That's awesome. If you don't take anything, internalize that, because that can change your whole perspective on life. Romans 8:16, for the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. There are three main elements that most human beings desire, and Christ provides it through grace. We need to be accepted, we need to be secure, and we need to feel significant. In Christ, we are accepted. We are God's children. We have been bought with a price, and we belong to God. We have been redeemed and forgiven of all sins. We are complete in Christ. We are part of God's plan to redeem the world. In Christ, we are secure. We are free from condemnation. We can be reassured that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We cannot be separated from the love of God. He will never leave us or forsake us.
Well,
we are born of God, and Satan cannot touch us. In Christ, we are significant. We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Before he
knew us, before he formed us, he knit each one of us together. Every day of our lives has been recorded. We are God's workmanship. We may approach God with freedom and confidence. God has a plan for our lives.
Well,
as God's children, we are heirs to the throne of grace.
All right.
We are on the winning team, and defeat is not an option.
All right.
Know who you are in Christ and block out the voices that told you you were nothing because you are something in Jesus Christ. So now that we know who God is, we know who we are in God, it should be easy for us to implement faith-building strategy number 3. Total dependence and surrender to the living God.
All right.
Matthew 16:13-15. When Jesus came to the region of Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Who is God to you? Is he both Lord and Savior? They're not the same thing. We often use them together in the same phrase, the same sentence, but they really are two different persons of God. Some of us depend on God's Spirit to save us, but not to sustain us. We look to God for a boost or a jump start, then we try to continue in our own strength, which is purely a practice in futility. Galatians 3:3 tells us, how foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human efforts? When we treat Jesus like a genie in a bottle and only access him when we need something, we don't allow him to inhabit all aspects of our mind, body, and spirit. We want to put him up on a shelf and we want to admire him. Look at, there's Jesus. There's my Jesus. Y'all see him? And then when things start going bad, we go, well, now Jesus, I'm going to take you down. Let me get this dust off of you because I need you to help me out. But when you do that, you don't understand. You can't treat Jesus like a drive-by window. You drive up, yeah, let me get some grace. I need a little bit of faith, get a little bit of forgiveness. You can't do that. You have to be in Jesus' presence at all times. That's the only way to get victory and joy and peace and forgiveness. It's found in dwelling in him all the time. We can't just access Jesus when we want to and only allow him in certain areas of our life. He wants and deserves it all. In our culture, unfortunately, the word surrender has been associated with negative images. Surrender has actually been associated with defeat. But the moment we recognize our complete weakness and dependence on him is when the Spirit of God will exhibit his power and he prepares us for this battle. When you totally surrender your life, your hopes, your dreams, your guilt, your shame, your plans, your past, your present, and your future to God, watch how your life and your perspective changes. Your circumstances may not change right away, but there will be a paradigm shift that empowers you to claim victory regardless of your circumstances. Is he your Lord and Savior?
All right.
The salvation process really is a one-time act when we first accept, believe, and confess. But yielding our lives to the work of the Holy Spirit is a daily process of seeking him and surrendering to his lordship. Surrendering everything and making God Lord over our lives is absolutely necessary in the pursuit of victory. It's not negotiable. Matthew 16:25-26, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? I want to, before I move towards my conclusion, I want to just stop for a minute right here and talk about the power of praise and worship. If you look at the armor of God, the scripture that talks about the whole armor of God, most of the armor is a defensive armor, right? You have the helmet, you have the shield, and the one armor that's named is the Word of God. That's the only offensive armor, which is, you know, the sword.
Wow.
But I'd also like to just add that I think that praise and worship can be both offensive and a defensive tool.
Wow.
Because if you look back to your word and read about Lucifer was the most beautiful angel created by God. He was adorned with light and jewels and all sorts of things, and he had direct access to God in the throne room of God. But what happened? He got caught up in the praise and worship that they were giving to God, and he wanted that for himself. I mean, he was like, look at me. I got all this bling. I got it going on. You know, why isn't anybody worshiping me? And God had to get rid of him. But the bottom line is, he is still seeking that praise and worship today.
That's right.
So one way that we can battle against his temptations and the stronghold that come down in our life, whether it be addictions, whether it be fear, whether it be a spirit of unforgiveness, is to praise and worship God. Yes. As soon as you feel that coming on you, offer up praise and worship.
Yes.
You can do it with your mouth. You can lay on the floor in your closet. Wherever you need to do it, you can put on praise and worship music.
Yes.
But use that as your offensive and defensive tool in your life.
Yeah.
Begin each day as if it were on purpose. One of my favorite movies is a movie called Hitch that was starred with Will Smith and Eva Mendes. And he was talking to her, trying to woo her. And he said, one of the things I tell my clients is to begin each day as if it were on purpose. And that really is it's a powerful line if you think about it. Because this is the day that the Lord has made.
Yes.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah.
Not after it's over, right. Not when things get better, right. But we will rejoice in this day. Yeah. Every day has the potential to be a victorious day. Each day along this journey is special. We won't know all the details, but we can be reassured that if we're in God's will, everything will work out okay. This is the day. David didn't specify Christmas Day or Easter Day, payday, when things are going well day. He said, this is the day, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. That means pink slip days,
well,
MRI days,
well,
root canal days,
well,
argument days,
well,
car accident days.
Well,
why should we rejoice in these days? How can these types of days be victorious?
Yeah, yeah.
Because God made this day.
Yeah.
He ordained this day to be in history.
Well,
he signed off on every detail.
Yeah.
Why rejoice? Because he's still conducting.
Uh-huh.
He still has control. He has a plan, and we're a part of it.
Yeah.
He loves us. David wrote Psalms during his wilderness experience. Jonah prayed while in the belly of a fish.
Go ahead.
Paul and Silas sang while they were in jail.
John
saw heaven while in exile.
Well,
Jesus communicated with his Father
well,
in his garden of pain.
Yeah.
Stop looking for the negative in your life, because I can guarantee you, if you look for it, you're going to find it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. God gave them everything they needed.
Come on now.
Every food they needed, all they needed. And he said, this one thing you cannot have.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they focused on.
Uh-huh.
They weren't thankful for the things they had. Everything had everything. But
well,
they focused on that one thing they couldn't have.
Yeah.
And that's how Satan was able to come in and mess up.
Yeah.
Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Sharpen your faith and claim victory. We already know the final score. We know the outcome. We're already on the winning team. Have you ever taped a sporting event, but you find out before you watch it that your team won? But you still watch the tape? Doesn't watching it change your perspective? You're not as stressed out and you don't care if the other team made a touchdown or whatever because you already know that your team won. Well, that's what our life is about. It doesn't matter that you may lose your job, that somebody may lie on you. None of that even matters because we know what's going to happen at the end. We already know that we have won. We can be more than conquerors because we know in our hearts that Christ will sustain us to the end. We know that God, who began a good work in us, will carry it on to completion. We know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We know that our Savior was serious when he said, my Father never stops working. We know that he that is within us is greater than he that is within the world. We are more than conquerors because we know that if God is for us, who can be against us? We know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We can be more than conquerors when we know in our heart that we are new creatures through Christ. Are you ready for a victorious life? You have to desire it. Decide you want it and implement these battle disciplines. Know who you are, know who God is. Know who you are in God and then give your life to him. Stop worrying about things you can't control. Saturate your day in faith, love, and God's grace. Marinate in his mercy. Focus on the cross and the accomplishments that came with that. Be fluent in the language of redemption. Speak victory into your life and your circumstances. Speak victory into the life and the circumstances of your spouses and of your children and of your co-workers and your pastor and your church family. Speak victory into their lives. Begin each day with the end in mind. Do you want to finish your day feeling with a feeling of victory? Then start your day implementing battle strategies. Communicate with your Lord and surrender your day to him. Read the word of God. Remind yourself that you are accepted, secure, and significant through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Praise and worship God throughout the day. Yes. Start today.
Well,
living victoriously starts one day at a time. God meets daily needs daily.
Yes.
He gave us manna. He gave us quail.
Yes.
Enough for that one day.
Yes.
Don't tell the Lord how big your storm is. You tell your storm how big your Lord is. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be victorious in it. Defeat is not an option.
Yeah, that's it.